Hey guys, welcome back. Feels so good to be back into routine and just the swing of things at home. It's so nice. I feel like you like don't, oh my God, I'm literally blanking. Like when you like the words literally just left my brain. When you like don't appreciate your bed until you're not for a very long time and then you sleep in it. Yes. My Aura Ring was like, wow, you got such a great night's sleep last night. Like what was different? And I was like, slept in my own bed.
Oh my God. Literally, Sam. That's like all I've been saying to Josh. Like, I just want to lay in bed. And also, we just got brand new, like, bamboo silk sheets. And I just, didn't understand.
Wait, from like, where?
From Cozy Earth. I finally put those on.
They're so good.
I, like, didn't understand. It's like, you don't know until you know. And now I know. Yeah. And I'm just...
And they're kind of expensive. And you're like, for what?
Like, and
what
now I'm, like, here? Scared to like, get them worn in. Like, do you have the white ones?
I think it's like cream.
Okay. I should have maybe got the cream ones because I got like
bright white. Or like off-white or something.
And I just like know my self-tanner is going to ruin them. So I'm just going to like not put that on this week. But they're so nice. And I just like love laying in my bed. I just like can't believe how comfortable it is, especially from like Airbnbs.
I know.
We had like some crazy, really uncomfortable beds, me and Josh.
Yeah, I feel like the one thing that we do when we travel is we bring our silk pillowcases. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's such a hack and honestly such a game changer because the sheets that Airbnbs use are so scratchy and
not comfortable.
And I feel like it's like so bad for your skin and your hair. So packing a silk pillowcase is truly game changer, and it takes up no space. You literally just stuff it in your bag, like makes no difference in anything, but it's like totally helps when you're actually sleeping. So love that. But yeah, we are back. I feel like in terms of trips, I'm going to Arizona in, I think it's like 2 weeks, just to celebrate my grandma's 80th birthday, and Andrew's birthday is like the same weekend, and then my mom's birthday is like the week before, so we're gonna do like a dinner while we're in Arizona too. So that. And then I literally have told my entire family I'm not leaving my house. Like I'm like, if you want to see me for my birthday, if you want to see me for the holidays, you can come to me. I am not leaving my house.
I love that. That's what I'm trying to do too. Like seriously, I don't want to leave.
Yeah, so
that's nesting era.
No, literally, I'm like, I will be doing all the things at my house.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I feel like this week's episode, you guys, we are going to do just our quick individual trip recaps because we didn't get the chance to do it last week because we didn't want the episode to be too crazy long and we were tired. So we'll finish up that recap this week and then also just do a little segment on holiday pitching and what that looks like and just how to stay top of mind for Q4 collaborations with brands. Since we are in Q4, I cannot believe it. It's so crazy that it's Halloween this week. All of a sudden, Halloween costumes were popping up on Instagram, and I was like, wait, what is everyone doing?
And we realized, like, tonight is the night the girlies are going out for Halloween.
Like, this week. Yeah, this past weekend.
This past weekend. So, like,
crazy.
Can't believe it.
Yeah, I feel like that really snuck up. And then I feel like once Halloween is over, then it's, like all... It's like up for grabs. Like there's like, it's all the crazy starts like Christmas immediately. Like I feel like stores already have Christmas stuff. Like I feel like Michael's, Target, everyone it's making already me has their so Christmas happy. Out.
I'm honestly excited.
About to pull my Christmas tree out. Ooh, November 1st.
So cute.
I'm not joking.
In your house.
I'm so excited. And then I love to leave it up too. So I just want to get the most out of it. Mm-hmm. So I think, Christmas tree is coming out November 1st.
Love that.
So excited. So, okay, for trip recaps, do you want to go? Oh, wait, influence of the week first. Very important this week.
Yes.
Okay, what is your influence of the week?
this week? Okay, my influence of the week. If you guys can tell by my feed, I just can't stop. My burgundy. My burgundy for you. No, never mind. What you guys know what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't know what I'm trying to say it, but chocolate brown, I can't get enough of it. Like, you can't get enough of burgundy. That's what I was trying to say. I feel like every so season cute. I love putting in a new little color combo for the season. And in the summer it was yellow and now it's chocolate brown. I just think it complements pink so well. So I just have been having fun with that. And I feel like you probably feel the same. It's kind of like rejuvenating to add it's something so new refreshing. Into the mix, and it's like fun and exciting. So
yes,
I'm having fun with that, and I just feel like it's very fall. And even though it was literally 80 degrees in San Diego the other day, I'm just like pretending it's fall over here. So
same.
Yeah, same. Chocolate brown and pink for me. I can't get enough. Cute. And that actually was really sparked by the Frankie Shop jacket I got, which is funny because last year I got a really iconic Frankie Shop leather jacket, and this year I feel like I got another one. I literally couldn't stop wearing it on my trip. So, yeah, love that.
Love that.
What is your influence of the week?
Okay, so mine, you guys, this is probably so annoying, but I just cannot get enough of burgundy. Like, I am just on this burgundy high right now.
I love that.
And like you said, it just feels so refreshing and rejuvenating because it's like not very often does the color come along mm-hmm. in a neutral palette that I'm excited about, I guess, or like not neutral that I'm excited about that I can incorporate into my stuff. So I definitely feel very passionately about burgundy this year, and I've kind of gone a little crazy. And I told myself like I wasn't gonna buy a lot of stuff if it was just like a trend or just like a, like not like I don't know, like I wasn't serious about it, but I feel so serious mm-hmm. about you it that I'm are. Like so committed. So I feel like I've really built up my burgundy collection very nicely. So specifically, my influence of the week is burgundy leather jackets. I feel like it's kind of shocking how hard they are to come by, especially with it being the color of the season. You would think that there would be a lot of them, I guess, and mm-hmm. there's really not. Like, I ordered one like a couple weeks ago and it was on pre-order for a while because I saw some girl wearing it and it was kind of pricey, honestly. But I was like, okay, if this is the only burgundy leather jacket that I buy and then I wear it a lot, it'll be worth it. It was like a couple hundred. It's from the brand called After Hours and it's really cute and it's just like a soft burgundy leather jacket, like no textures. But then, of course, we wore what? Launched one like last week recently. And I remember seeing it when she did her New York Fashion Week presentation. And I was like, oh my, I like remember seeing it and being like, that's stunning. But like, obviously, I wouldn't wear that. And then I completely forgot about it. And then I was reminded of it this week after I feel like it was all over social media. And luckily, I saw it just in time. And I immediately purchased it, and I think it sold out so quickly. They ended up doing like a whole pre-order situation after the fact as well. So like basically what happened was this jacket launched and then they like pulled stock from like retailers that were gonna sell it. They like pulled from that stock to put on the website to have more. Mm. So I think that's how I was able to buy it, because I went, the email got sent out at 9 a.m. I remember this very vividly. This is like those games that I like to play.
I know. It's so like you were so good at getting the items that just dropped. Yes. Like I need to be better at
that.
The
email went out. It dropped at 9 a.m. I saw the email at 9:12, went online, and it was already sold out. So I was like watching her stories. I was watching the We Wear What stories, and it was like, oh my gosh, this jacket sold out in like 3 minutes. We're trying to get stock for you guys. And I was like, oh, interesting. Went back on the website at like 9:15, refreshed it, and there were sizes available. Oh my so gosh. I immediately purchased it. I didn't even use a discount code, which like I would have rather bought it and I used the discount code, and I was too scared to spend time looking for a discount mm-hmm. code. So I just bought it, which is fine. And then it like sold out again shortly after that. And then I guess they opened pre-orders on it, but I think the pre-order was like 8 weeks or something. And she said on her stories that it was like, that was it, because that was like the rest of the fabric, basically. Like there wasn't any more material to like make them. Wow. So like they really stretched it out. And then she said that other retailers are going to carry it as well. So if you missed it and you want it, I think if you like research who carries We Wore What, like Revolve, she said, for example, I feel like Revolve will probably get some. So you have to like be really quick with that, because I feel like things on Revolve also sell out really quickly. But yeah, it was a whole experience. Got my jacket. I'm so excited to receive it. I can't wait. And it's like a burgundy croc material. And it's actually like the fit looks so good. She was wearing it on the podcast with the Skinny Confidential, and it just looked so cute. And
oh, I was wondering what she was wearing, because I didn't listen to it with video, but they were talking about what she was wearing.
Yeah, I just went on like the podcast, like Instagram, to see the video so I could see it. But yeah, so cute. And I'm just truly so shocked. Like I have a leather jacket that I always get a lot of questions about from Lioness, and it used to come in burgundy, but like they didn't restock it, they didn't remake it, and I'm just confused how no one is doing this. I'm just like, as a brand, like you all knew burgundy was going to be the color of the season. Why was this not executed?
I know. I feel like so, this always happens. Like there's the early adopters, and then like literally 3 months later, everyone has that item. So I feel like it's good that you bought those now.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And I just love all the pieces that I've acquired so far. And yeah, I'm just loving a deep, dark burgundy. It just like, honestly, is just like filling my soul right now.
Like, it just, so love exciting. How passionate
Never
you
thought
are.
I would feel this way about the color red. But I think because it's like a dark, dark red, that's why.
I don't know. It's really cute.
So yeah, short story long, burgundy leather jackets are like my passion right now. And yeah, I think the Frankie shop has one, but I think pretty sure it's sold out. And it's like, I don't want the same jacket in two different colors. Yeah, like I have the black one. Like I don't want the same exact one in red. You know what I mean? So
that yeah, is
and
so
then
iconic.
She, Danielle Bernstein, like posted this video of like different brands that are like designer and luxury, like high end, that have a burgundy leather jacket. It was like YSL, Frankie Shop, and there was one more. And then like that's what inspired her to make one.
Oh,
and so glad she did. And I remember seeing it at Fashion Week, but then her Fashion Week presentation, all those pieces didn't launch immediately. She's been doing drops like since then. Mm-hmm. So, and the drop with the leather jacket is so good. Like there's these super wide leg leather pants. I don't need them, but they're so cute. And then she wore it with like a leather corset, and it just looked so good. Like I really had to hold back to not buy anything else, because I was like, don't want to not buy something that I don't need. But it was just such a good drop. So yeah, that is my current obsession. I can't stop. I'm obsessed. And I feel like my fall coat rack like exploded this week. Like I want to make like a, it's that like audio where it's like, men I may not know, but shoes, and do like all the coats, because I've gotten like, I got this like burgundy fur coat in, I think it's from ASOS, and it's like really cute. And then I ordered the iconic Zara white fluffy jacket. Cute. I don't know, all the fluffy jackets, all the leather jackets, like I'm so excited about. So I don't want to like make a video with all these coats. I'm like, I don't have enough time to wear all them. Like I need
should.
To.
No,
get
we have like a
it.
Short time frame.
I know. But yeah, so I'm just so excited. I love fall. I love winter. It's so much fun, and the pieces I feel like are so fun. So
yeah,
stay tuned to see all of that. But okay, so for our trip recaps, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? Okay, I'll just do mine real quick. Okay, so my quick London trip recap. First of all, London was so fun. I flew British Airways, which pained me to do because I'm truly trying to build my freaking Delta status. And British Airways actually has a direct flight from San Diego, which is honestly amazing, especially if you're traveling alone. So I met my family there. So I was like, honestly, it's going to be so worth just having their direct flight. And I think by the time you're in the air, it's 9 hours. Like, it's not bad. It's like a very typical international travel time. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy I did that. And then I flew. It's called Premium Economy on British Airways, which I thought was similar to Delta Comfort, but I think it's a little nicer than Delta Comfort. And there was like different sections on the plane. So they had like first class, business class, which to me looked the same. I don't know what the difference was on the flight. And then Premium Economy, and then I think Main Economy. Maybe there was one back even further, but I'm not sure. But it was honestly really nice. It was a small section and the chair actually reclined kind of a lot, whereas like if the person in front of you reclined, you had to recline, otherwise you would kind of be like in their seat, like right up to their seat. So it reclined quite a bit, and then it also had like a footrest that came out of the recliner as well, which was nice because then I could put my feet up on it and like bend my knees, or I could like extend my legs and keep them straight. So honestly, was pretty impressed with British Airways, and the food was decent. It was just like good, easy, basic food, like nothing crazy. So I was honestly impressed with British Airways. I wasn't sure what to expect, but overall, great experience. Super quick flight, honestly. Like, you watch your favorite movies, you eat your food, you take a little nap, and then you're there, basically. Mm-hmm. So flew across the pond, got to London, and the whole reason we went is because my dad is a very big Chicago Bears football fan, and the NFL is actually playing games in London this year. They did one in Brazil as well. That was the first time, but they've done a couple London games for the past couple years too. So my dad was like, let's go to London. And at the time I thought, like, yeah, such a great idea. But then when I got back from Europe, I was like, wow, I'm so tired and I cannot believe I have to go to London in literally a week. It was about a week time in between, and I just felt like another week in Europe waiting would have just like felt so long that I was like, it'll just be nice to be home for a little bit, I guess, and then go back. So yeah, so we did that. So we got in, and then trying to think, checked into our hotel. I feel like I would have to look at a map. I'm like, let me pull up a map really fast. We stayed. There's a lot of cute little pockets in London. And then there's also like some not so nice areas you're not supposed to stay in. So it was definitely interesting trying to figure out which areas to stay in. But Kensington and I think Chelsea, maybe South Kensington, was like highly recommended, as well as obviously like Mayfair or Soho and all that, but those places are a little pricier. So we ended up staying in Kensington, which was really cute. I do wish we had more time to explore all the different areas and walk around, because we had a pretty tight itinerary because we were there for literally 3 days. I want to go back and definitely explore and walk around more because I feel like there's so much to see there. But then we left Friday, got there on a Saturday afternoon, checked in, took a little nap, and then we went just to a restaurant, random restaurant, and then walked around a little bit, but we were all pretty tired. So then that was Saturday. So then Sunday was the football game. So we took an Uber from our hotel to the stadium, which was, I think it was like an hour, 45 minutes to an hour away. Like, the stadium is not that close to central London, I think is what they call it. I think the stadium's called like Tottenburg or something like that. It's like so funny because the town that it's in is like very like sports centered because they have the stadium there and there's just like games going on all the time. So that was a really cool experience, really fun. The Bears won while we were there, so that was exciting. My dad was excited. And then we kind of stayed a little after the game and like just kind of watched all the stuff, the reporting that they do on the field. And then we were ready to leave. And of course there was like, I think the stadium holds like 70,000 people and it was sold out. So of course, 70,000 people trying to leave this small town area to go back to London was like such a nightmare. And we were trying to like call an Uber, could not call an Uber. Like no one was picking up. Like it would just like try to connect and nothing. And I was like, oh my gosh, like the transportation, like, I don't know, like it was just going to be like literally packed sardines, like everyone squished in. And like literally at the last second, as my dad was about to buy the tickets for the public transportation, my phone connected to an Uber and I've never been more excited in my life. I was like, oh my gosh, thank goodness. Like that was about to be such an interesting experience if we had to like figure out how to get back at night on public transportation, like so many people. And we, as we were driving back, our Uber passed the subway station that you would go down in and it was packed. Like it was like 3 blocks long without even going down, like 3 blocks long out and like 10 people deep. Like it was crazy. Like it probably would have taken us so long to get home if we had not gotten that Uber. And we were just telling the Uber driver, like, thank you so much for picking up this, like our call. Thank you. Like so happy. So I feel like the transportation issue after the game is kind of interesting. Like you think they would prep more or have more Ubers working or out there. I don't know. So that was interesting. But then we got back and then we just had dinner at our hotel because I booked it through American Express. And I guess if you do that, the American Express, I think it was like a fine hotel or one of the things that American Express partners with, they gave us an £85 credit, which is about $100 to get food. And then my dad also got one because he booked through his American Express. So we basically got a free dinner at our hotel. So that was really nice. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, which was pretty much our last full day in London, we did a bunch of sightseeing because I told my dad I wanted to do all the touristy things while we were there. Because my dad is one of those travelers who literally just goes to the city, sees the game, and leaves. Like, does not do anything else. I was like, Dad, like, if we're traveling this far, like, we need a touristy day to at least see some things. So we went to Buckingham Palace and we watched the changing of the guards. They didn't do the full ceremony because it was raining, but it was still cool to see. Buckingham Palace. And then we went to, I think it's called like the Queen's Horse Guard or something like that, where like, I don't know, these guards are literally sitting on a horse outside of something.
I've seen TikToks and you like about this.
Yeah. So we did that. And then we saw like the London Eye driving, obviously Big Ben, the London Bridge, which actually isn't the bridge that people think of when you say London Bridge. It's actually, I think it's called the Tower Bridge, I think. That's the actual pretty bridge. The London Bridge is literally just like a plain flat bridge. It's actually kind of funny. So we did that and walked around as much as we could. I would say London is kind of more spread out than like Paris. So like some of the stuff is like, if you walked, it would be like an hour, which is kind of annoying if you're trying to squeeze a bunch in because you'd want to like, you know, walk to all the different things. Mm-hmm. But so we did have to take Ubers a lot. And then the traffic is so bad in London and the roads are so small and not linear or grid-like. They just are twisty, turny all over. Like there's no like structure to these roads. Like it is wild. So like the Ubers were like at least £50 and it took an hour to like go everywhere. Like it was kind of crazy. But then I did do a little shopping on Bond Street, which is in Mayfair. I feel like if I were to go back, I would love to stay in Mayfair. I feel like that's like a lot of the area that you see on movies or you see on TV or just like really cute and nice. So I personally went by myself. My family is like not into that. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go really quick. And I just like walked to it myself and then went into a couple stores. Just wanted to see it, experience it. And they were kind of walking around more and doing other touristy things. But yeah, so that was fun. And then we met back at the hotel and then went to dinner for our last night. And we went to this place, I think it's called Sky Garden. It's like kind of at the top of a really tall building. So you get like a 360 view of the city. Mm-hmm. I feel like dads love doing those things in general. Yeah, so definitely. We did that for our last dinner. And then that was pretty much it. Went back to the hotel, packed, and then we literally left the next day. Like, it was such a quick trip. I think I took like 2 outfit photos like outside the hotel, and then just tried to take a couple photos like while we were out doing stuff. So It was a very quick, jam-packed trip, but it was really fun. And I feel like I would love to go back and definitely explore the different areas more. Like, there's just so many cute little pockets, like so many cute stores. Like, you could just walk around, I feel like, and explore them. And like, that's just like, unfortunately, not like what my family does on trips. So
yeah,
to go back. Yeah, it was really cute. And I think like the food was also interesting too. Like, they're really big on like fish and chips there.
Mm-hmm.
And peas, like green peas.
That's so random. Like, and peas beans. And like everything.
Like, peas is like a side dish. Like, like, I think at one of the restaurants, my sister got like fish and chips and there was like a side of peas.
Oh, no, that is so random.
Yeah. And beans, like beans at breakfast.
Okay, I've heard about that. Like, people put beans on their toast, apparently.
Oh, yeah. So that was also really interesting. Didn't see too many like salad sandwich shops. So yeah, eating there is definitely interesting. But yeah, overall, great experience. Would love to go back and explore more.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then flew back directly from London Heathrow to San Diego. London Heathrow is huge. Like, oh my gosh, the terminals. Oh,
I bet.
My Uber driver was telling me, like, each terminal is like 4 miles apart. Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
So you have to like take an Uber or like take the train. That there's like a train system that goes to each terminal. But in general, like, it's very, very big. So
wow,
that was interesting, but had no problems or anything. Was able to get into the lounge. It was the Priority Pass lounge with the American Express card in London for the terminal that I was in. And yeah, it was great. So that is a recap on my London trip. Okay.
Love that.
What about you?
Okay, so after Paris, Josh met me, and we went to Morocco, and I feel like this was my favorite, like, the first few days was my favorite part of the rest of the trip because it was so interesting. I feel like it was, like, a very unique experience. We stayed in a camp in, I think it's pronounced the Agafay, I don't know, desert in Marrakesh. If you keep driving, you'll get into the Sahara Desert, but this one is like an hour or so outside of Marrakesh, so it was just like such a cool experience. I feel like it was a very luxurious desert camp. Like, it was also the most expensive part of our trip, which is funny because it's like a desert camp, but it was really, really cool. It was super authentic food there. We did all the desert things. We rode camels, did a ATV ride, and it was just so cool. Like, they had fire dancers at night. They just had the best food. Moroccan food, I guess, like, all the spices with Moroccan food, they always add a hint of cinnamon, like, even in the meat and the rice, like, everything. And I've never had anything like that, and it was just so good. I loved Moroccan food.
So, was the camp like busy? Was it like sold out? Like, did you see other people?
I think it was really? Like, it seemed like every single tent was full, but it wasn't like busy. Like, it was like very much popping at night, which is funny. Like, yeah, people were like out drinking, like, in the little communal circle, and it was such a cool experience. Like, I was just thinking the whole time, like, it would be so cool having some sort of like retreat here. Like, if there was a spiritual retreat at that desert camp, that would be the coolest thing ever. Like, at night, the stars are, they don't seem real. Like, it looks like you're looking at a green screen. It's so crazy. I would just sit out there, like, in awe at night looking at the stars, because there's just, I've never seen so many stars before. So it was just, it was so cool. Literally, probably going to be one of my favorite experiences ever. Loved that. And then after that, we went into, if you guys want to see more about that, because I could talk forever about it, just look at my highlights on my Instagram. But after that, we went into Marrakesh, and that was very different. Marrakesh was kind of a culture shock, honestly. It was so cool, but very, very different. There's like donkeys in the street. There's, I can't really explain it. It's just very different, but very cool. I wouldn't recommend it as like, if you're new to traveling, like, I guess, you know, I don't know. It's very, very cool. I loved it, but I don't think it's for everyone, is what I'll say. So that was a really interesting experience. It was very hot there. It was like 90 degrees. So it was, I feel like weather really makes or break where you're visiting. Because it was raining in one of the cities we went to, and I just feel like it kind of like dampens the vibe. But anyways, mm-hmm. It was just very hot. So we would try not to walk around too much, but it was a cool place. I feel like we had the perfect amount of time there. Like, I think we did 3 full days and then we had a 4th half day. And I felt like that was a good amount of time in Marrakesh. Yeah, I think that's like everything. It's just very different, very, very cool, very different. We went into the Inventing Anna hotel also. That was really cool to see. And yeah, there's some like crazy luxurious hotels there. So there's like a huge divide. Love Marrakesh. Then we went to Portugal. Portugal was so cute, so quaint. We went to Lisbon first and then we went to Porto. Lisbon is, it's just so cute. The buildings are so colorful. Like, there's so much pink there. It's, I'm like, why didn't anyone tell me this, first of all? Like, there's, it is like all pink. It's crazy. Loved the food there. It's like a, it's very much like tapas vibes. Like, it's like Portugal, Spain, tapas vibes. It's really good. We had our favorite meal in Lisbon. And it was just really cute walking around. The cities are, or the streets are really, really cute. There's really good shopping. Loved Portugal. I would definitely go back. And then we went to Porto, which is kind of like a quainter, smaller version of Lisbon. I feel like it would be a really cute city in the summer because it's right on the water. But Porto was just really cute. It's just like a very charming city. Lots of like live music. Walking around the city. I feel like you don't need much time there. We did 2 days and then we did 2.5 days. And I felt like that was a good amount of time. But it did rain one of the days, so I was like really sad. But the next day was like perfectly sunny. So it was just cute. Really cute spots. Really good food. Then we went to Spain. And then our first place was Sevilla, and everyone loves Sevilla. Like, anytime we told someone we were going to Sevilla on this trip, everyone's like, oh my God, that's my favorite city. Like, everyone loves Sevilla, apparently. That this was the city that we didn't get lucky with weather. I feel like October is such a good time to travel to Europe. And me and Josh kept saying this throughout the trip. Like, it's such a good time to travel, but you run the risk of like rain. I feel like you're always going to run into that in October. And Sevilla, it rained like kind of the whole time, which kind of was like, we had some hours of not rain, but I feel like that was hard because everyone loves Sevilla for like the parks and everything like that. So it was pretty rainy out. But we went to all the hot spots, Plaza de España, I think that's what it's called. That was stunning. The parks are insane. It's very like magical vibes, like very romantic. It kind of reminds me of Florence, but in Spain. So that was cute. And then we went to Madrid. And honestly, I loved Madrid way more than I thought I was going to. I feel like I'm a little bit over, like, I don't know. I feel like at a certain point, these European cities all kind of look the same. And I feel like when I'm traveling, I love to see like different things. So I thought Madrid was gonna honestly just be like Milan, but we ended up loving Madrid. It's very cute. The food is amazing. Really cute shopping. Just like a really good place to travel to, especially if you're kind of newer to travel. I would say this place is like Spain in general is just so easy to travel to. I don't know. Everyone's like super sweet. Everyone speaks English. I feel like in some of these countries, not everyone speaks English. So I don't know. It was just really easy. We loved it. I feel like I could literally live there for a month. Like it was just super easy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
It was like Milan, but slightly different. So, yeah, honestly, I haven't even finished my stories from Madrid. I kind of am at the point where I'm like, okay, I'm done. I need to finish that up. But that was pretty much, long story short, all the highlights are on my profile if you want to see more. Overall, it was just like a really, really cool trip. It was very long. I don't think I would do that long of a trip again. But I'm so thankful that I got the opportunity to do it. And it was very cool. So yeah, that's my trip recap.
Which one was like your favorite if you had to pick one?
I was about to say definitely Morocco. But like I think the desert was my favorite experience. But if I could pick a city, I think it would be Madrid.
Cute.
Yeah. There was like, you know Balboa Park? It's modeled after this park in Madrid, and the real park is insane. It's like the biggest, prettiest park I've ever been to. But yeah, Madrid was just really cool. So yeah.
Love that. Oh yeah, that reminds me too about London. I feel like it obviously very much looked like New York at a lot of places, mm-hmm. which is like, well, duh, because like New York, we came from London basically, but like they have their Soho and like so many of the buildings in London looks how Soho looks in New York, or even the piers in New York look the same as the piers in London. Like it was very much identical mm-hmm. like situation. So that was definitely interesting to compare. But okay, so that finishes up our trip recaps. I feel like that was a lot, but you were gone a long time. So
yeah,
it was like almost 5 weeks, honestly. So crazy. But okay, but we are back home. So excited to be sleeping in our own beds, getting back into routine and just adjusting. So for the rest of this week's episode, we just wanted to talk about holiday pitching, since I feel like the holidays are here. And like we were saying earlier, as soon as Halloween passes, I feel like it's full swing holiday season. especially for influencers, content creators. Like, I feel like brands are really lean into that, and there's just like so much going on. You have like first you have Thanksgiving, Black Friday, mm-hmm. Christmas sales, just all the gift giving for all the different just holidays, religions. Like, there's so many things going on, and then yeah. you have like New Year's Eve parties, New Year's outfits, all that. So it's kind of basically like full swing after Halloween, I would say. And
yeah, definitely.
Brands typically usually have higher budgets during this time. I feel like brands either hire a ton of influencers and have like smaller budget, or they have like they hire like a couple influencers but then throw like huge budget. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it can definitely go either way, and brands also start casting, I feel like, so early. I don't know. It's like hard to tell, because it's like I was on a Zoom call with Macy's, I think it was last week or the week before that, because I'm like part of their Macy's style crew, and they were just talking mm-hmm. about, it was like a Q&A with their team, and they said they start casting almost 6 months out, which is so crazy to me.
Yeah, I feel like bigger brands probably do that.
Yeah.
And then the smaller brands, like, they're probably going to start locking everything in November, I would assume. And then, like, you'll get some random stuff, like, a week before the holidays, I swear. It's like...
Yeah. I feel like it's so all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like, no structure. Like, yeah. It could be, like, you could have all your collabs lined up, like, by October. Or you could have nothing and then book everything November, December. Like, it's very... Mm-hmm. It just depends, and especially it depends on the brands and what they're feeling as well. Do you want to share what you told me before we started the podcast? Just an interesting tidbit to share with you guys. Interesting
little tidbit, but my manager said that they were talking to some brands, and a lot of brands this year are actually holding back on their holiday campaigns because of the election coming up literally, oh my God, it's like in 2 weeks.
Or even are registered to vote. Yes. And make sure you vote, you guys.
Yes.
Very important.
So, but she was saying a lot of brands are actually holding back because they don't want to be involved with the politics or any sort of political campaign. So allegedly there are some brands that are holding back. I don't know how many. I don't know, like,
who's participating in that. But it definitely makes sense.
It does, because it's like, what if something crazy, like, we don't know what's going to happen. Like, no, things could literally get really crazy. So I think maybe, I feel like as of now, maybe brands are like, okay, we're going to hold back. Like, we don't
like we're going to wait part of this. See.
And then maybe if things go well, like, that'll be taken back. But that was very interesting to hear.
Well, then I think the other interesting thing too is the election is November 6th, which is the beginning of November, and then Black Friday is basically the end of November, so it seems like there's enough time in between there to like execute, and if for any reason I feel like they could delay, but maybe they just don't want a branded Black Friday campaign and then not be able to run it for some mm-hmm. reason, so maybe they'll hold off for budget in just terms of like gift giving in December and whatnot. So
yeah
definitely an interesting tidbit though, and makes sense for sure, because we have no idea what's gonna happen.
And brands don't want to be like tone deaf if they do activate mm-hmm. and like it's like not the vibe. So
but regardless, I feel like it is still a perfect time to start pitching, because brands are prepping for the year, and I feel like booking talent, whether it's, you know, Black Friday or just holiday gift giving, whatnot. So I feel like even with the election coming, you can still be pitching yourself and then kind mm-hmm. of feel it out if the brand is like, oh yeah, like we have this upcoming campaign, or like, oh, we're actually gonna hold off until after the election. Like, you can kind of get the vibe and see what's going on. So
Yeah,
that'll definitely be interesting. But I feel like we always recommend reaching out to brands that you've worked with this past year, like any campaigns that you've had, reach out to them and just say like, hey, loved working with you so much this year. My audience loves the content, like send any insights you can, and then ask, you know, are you guys activating at all for the holiday season? I'm planning out my holiday campaigns at the moment and would love to include your brand. Just things like that to show them that you really care and want to continue the partnership, because I feel like brands love more of long-term partnerships versus a one-off. So it's like, if you can work with the same person a couple times, I feel like it shows both audiences that the influencer is genuine about the brand and isn't just collecting a paycheck for a one-off situation. So I feel like that's always beneficial, and you can always mention that to the brand as well. And then the other thing we like to encourage everyone to do is sending a concept when pitching. I feel like brands are obviously getting so many pitches right now. So one way to kind of set yourself apart is just send the concept that maybe you've thought of, and maybe they don't use your concept, but they love the thought that you put into it and that you care enough about the brand that you're not sending just a generic spam email to every brand in your contact list, and that you actually took the time to create an email for them. And so I feel like that goes a long way too.
I always like also try to like make sure to throw in the brand name and like specific things about the brand, because I remember like years and years and years ago, I would send that copy paste email. Like I feel like they can spot that. So making sure it's very tailored to the brand. I like to also send just like links over so they can see exactly what sort of concept I have in mind, or something that has performed really well for me in the past, and show them how I can incorporate their brand or product into my content, and like it's proven to do well with my audience. So I love doing that too. Also, like a little mood board or something.
Yeah, if you don't have content that maybe you can integrate, or maybe it's kind of a new vertical that you're exploring, I feel like a mood board is a really good idea to send. Because like, if you don't have a link to send to your content, you can be like, here's my vision, here's the idea, here's how I want to execute it, here's an example of like a small script for a voiceover, or here's the editing style that I would like to do for this idea. I feel like if you can paint the picture out for a brand, it really helps them understand your creative idea, and then they can see if that aligns, or they might just appreciate the genuine effort that you're putting in and, you know, put you on a campaign, even if it's not the exact concept that you had. I just feel like going above and beyond, especially during the holidays when it's a very, very stressful time for everyone involved, can really go a long way. So a couple examples could be just like, if you're a beauty creator, just doing holiday glam using, you know, X brand, and do a video kind of dedicated to that brand. And then you could send them examples of beauty videos that you've done that doesn't have to necessarily be their brand, but you're like, this is the video that I'd like to create for you guys using your products. Like, here you can see my audience really responded well to it. They really were engaged. Things like that. Or if you're a fashion girly, just doing holiday get ready with me's, holiday outfits for holiday parties, etc. Gift guides, I feel like, are always huge in the blogger community. And if you're like a hosting, not like a hosting blogger, but like a hosting, like if you're in your home era and you're doing a lot of hosting, you could do that kind of content. And I feel like that could really tap into a lot of different brand partnerships. Like, I feel like alcohol is like a good one to do for that, or like tableware, or I'm trying to think what else I've seen before, but I feel like that's like a really good vertical to be in as well. And just decorating, I feel like Target, like decorating my house with Target's newest holiday decor, whatever. Yeah, everyone loves Target. I feel like those are just like easy. If you're a Target girly and you're going to Target anyway, might as well get some content out of that.
Yeah,
I feel like people really save that stuff too. And like, I love seeing home content from people who, like, I love their aesthetic, because I know they're gonna pick home content that's also their aesthetic. That I'm gonna be like, oh my gosh, like I need that. I need to go to Target. I need to buy that too. So feel like there's a lot of different spins you can put on holiday content that doesn't have to be like super cheesy Santa Claus holiday, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like the girlies are getting really creative. I feel like every single year I'm just honestly surprised what people come up with and then like put their own spins on and everything like that. I just feel like we're not in a cheesy era anymore. It's very cute and aesthetic. And I love to see it.
And I love it. I'm like, I love it. I'm here for it. Like, so excited. So I think too, another thing is to just, if you haven't already, just start creating organic content now using the brands that you want to work with in a potential paid capacity or partnership. Because I feel like my manager tells me this all the time, but she says a lot of brands, especially like beauty brands, use back-end systems. And we've said this before, but they use back-end systems that flag when people are organically talking about them and tagging them. So I feel like that's a good way to kind of get on the radar.
Yeah. Because I feel like this is going to just really increase your chances of collaborating with them for the holidays. Because obviously they love organic partnerships, and I feel like that just eliminates that first step of brands wanting to kick off the relationship, quote unquote,
beforehand. You can be like, great, I've already posted
you
before.
Yeah, here are my links, here actually. Here is the links. Like, this will be a very successful partnership because I've actually already introduced my brand or your brand to my audience. They know I love you. This is going to be so seamless. I feel like that's the best thing you can do, and also very, very strategic from a business standpoint. To just generate more brand collaborations for the holiday season. So I feel like start doing that now in a very organic way, and also just have that on your radar for like in general collaborating with brands, especially for like next holiday season if you haven't already. But
I feel like too, if the brand has to potentially decide between two creators and they have the same analytics, same insights, like same engagement, same everything, and they need to find something to decide on a creator, I feel like they're definitely going to go with the creator who has organically posted them. Like, it's a no-brainer. Yeah. It makes sense. And I feel like that just kind of gives you that extra foot in. So it never hurts. And I know some people are like, oh, well, I don't want to post the brand if they're not paying me, which I get. But I feel like there are ways to incorporate brands where it's not like you don't have to do like a single dedicated post shouting from a mountaintop saying, I love X brand. Like, you can like incorporate like in your makeup routine, like featuring their products that you already own. Or maybe if it's an outfit, like tagging all the different brands, you know, on like the fifth slide, you know, of what you're wearing. But that way, at least those tags pop up for those brands and then they can see you that way. And it's not dedicated. So they still have to pay for the dedicated post, but it's still organic. You're still talking about them. And I think brands appreciate that. And that goes a long way, especially because I don't know, sometimes I feel like overwhelmed and there's too many brands to talk about, and it's like really hard to decide which ones you want to talk about and tag and post. So I feel like when you do decide and you're like taking that time and that space to post them, I think they appreciate that. I feel like I would if I was a brand. So that's what I feel like we recommend doing, especially starting now if you haven't, and just to prep for the holiday season and just campaigns in general. And then the biggest thing is I feel like an increase in rates is pretty typical for the holiday season.
Definitely super standard for the industry, so don't be afraid to raise the rates, raise your rates for a holiday season, because I feel like brands are usually willing to pay a lot more, and I feel like brands know that it's almost like anticipated from creators to like have higher rates for the holiday season.
Yeah, I think, it's like everyone's kind of doing it. So don't miss out if you're not. And it doesn't have to be a crazy amount. It could be like 10, 20%. But it's just like, basically, I think the way you have to think about it is you have a calendar and you have a certain amount of posts that you post per week, basically. And out of those amount of posts per week that you do, how many of those do you want to be sponsored? So say mm-hmm. you only want to do 30% sponsored because you don't want your feed to just be like sponsor, sponsor, ad, you know, partnership, whatever. You want to have it like spaced out and balanced. So really you only have like maybe 2 to 3 posts a week max. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot. So I feel like for me, I tried to do, well, not during the holiday season. I feel like I try to only do one a week. Like I really try to space them out. And I try to explain that to brands too. Like, oh, like I like to put space in between them. But if I can't, I feel like I like 2 a week in feed is like my max. Cause I hate when I feel like when you look at my feed and it's like ad, yeah, ad. I feel like a sellout, like, even though I'm not, and I'm doing it with brands that I love, I feel
and it's not that
feeling.
Yeah. It's like, you not know what I mean? That often, like every week you're having 3 and, but like, right. I know exactly what you mean. And like somehow I feel like it lines up randomly with approvals. Like it's always like 3 days yeah. in a row sometimes.
No, literally. So, and it's yeah. like so frustrating. And you're like, try to explain it to a brand and yeah. they're like, no, we just want it to go live. And I'm like, okay, I'm just letting you know, like right. it'll do better with a little more space. But yeah, I just think sometimes there's a sense of urgency with the holidays and everything. So that's one reason you could upcharge, is because brands are wanting a quick turnaround time. Like mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes brands are like, oh, can you submit content in 2 days? And once approved, post like on that third day. And you're like, oh,
that. It's crazy.
Yeah. So there's that. And then of course, exclusivity. I feel like some brands for some reason just do like a 2 week before and 2 week after. And I just would not recommend that for the holidays, because it's like, that is just like taking out your calendar basically. Like that's yeah. a full month of that category that you're not able to post in. So unless they're very specific with their exclusivity and they're naming brands that you can't work with and you don't have prior relationship with those brands, then I guess you can make it work. But I feel like ideally it's 48 hours before and 48 hours after of the category, because there, like, I just feel like there's not really a need for anything longer than that. But I don't know. Sometimes no, brands yeah. are just, I feel like so brands, set.
I feel like exclusivity time has gotten dramatically shorter than what it used to be. I swear these brands were asking 2 weeks. 2 weeks out.
I but recently I feel had like one like that, and I oh, was just really? Like, are you? Yes,
I feel
like
we don't see that often anymore.
We're timing. It was with Soma and Maidenform, which I get. So, yeah. like, Maidenform wanted 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after. And then I had a partnership with Soma for, it was like 2 months. So, like, a post per month. So, like, we had to time the Maidenform post in between the 2 Soma posts, and I had to post the first Soma post by a certain day so that 2 weeks could pass, and then I had to post the Maidenform one exactly on that date so that my second Soma one still went live in that second month. Like it was yeah, like so chaotic.
So interesting, and it's so important to be like tracking all of this stuff down, because that could yeah. really mess things up if you didn't.
Yeah, and like it all worked out and it was fine, but it was a little stressful because it's like you don't want to turn down a campaign, but it's like, and I feel like a lot of times too, brands are flexible for the most part on like a day or so of timing. Mm. So it's like if you need another day, but I feel like with the holidays, just be super careful, have a calendar, write it down, like write down your exclusivity so that if you get another campaign in, you can look at your calendar and be like, can I post this on this day? Like, just to make sure you don't double book, because I know that's happened to us before in previous years, like having to, I think 1 year, I think I had to post 2 campaigns in 1 day and I absolutely hated it. Oh, like one yeah. went live in the AM and one went live PM. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so annoyed with myself. But like, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. Yeah. But obviously trying to avoid that at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And then also with the exclusivity, just making sure that they're not getting wild with it. Like, make sure it's not an entire category. Make sure it is like a specific thing. So, for example,
product.
Yeah. Like, if it's a mascara, making sure it's not exclusivity with all other beauty brands. Like, it's with just mascara or, like, competitor mascaras specifically. Like, if it's a bag company or something, making sure their exclusivity is not accessories in general. It's just specifically bags. So just looking out for that in contracts.
Yeah, and if it is wild, it's okay to ask a brand to shorten it and see what they say. More. I feel like redlining contracts is a very common, normal thing, and so giving pushback is typical. So if there is something that stands out on a contract that you want to address, like, don't be afraid to ask questions if you don't understand something, to kind of give pushbacks if there's some crazy exclusivity or if the turnaround is too tight. You know, brands don't know our schedules, and it's not like we're sitting at home doing nothing. So sometimes a 2-day turnaround is just not doable.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely things to look out for. And then another big thing that I feel like has been pretty big lately is just the whole whitelisting / ad boosting, making sure you're charging for that as well. I feel like industry standard, I think it's 20 or 30%. I can't remember, but between 20 and 30% of your actual rate per month. So it's like, if this brand wants to boost your content for 6 months, they are paying a rate per month, and I feel like that rate can add up, but that's just what it's supposed to be. And I feel like it kind of is hard getting used to, but say you're charging $500 per month, that's $3,000 for 6 months, which like is very standard. So it's like, don't let those numbers scare you. And you can also break it down for a brand as well and say, okay, this is my, you know, whitelisting rate is this amount of month per month, which equals this. Because that way, if they don't like that number, they can shorten it or adjust it without kind of hopefully ghosting you when they see a big number like that. Like, you're helping them understand, like, this is where this number is coming from, basically. So just be aware of that as well. I feel like a lot of contracts have added in boosting, which honestly is not a bad thing. I feel like if you align with the brand and they're going to boost it to their audience, it's a good thing for you. Just making sure you're getting compensated for the sales that your content is driving for that brand, basically. So,
yeah, I feel like brands are actually way more willing now to pay a lot for boosting. And I feel like before, it used to just be added into contracts and no one really knew what to charge for it. But I feel like brands are definitely aware. They are paying a lot when they're boosting your content. So make sure you guys know that, especially for the holidays.
Yeah, especially because they're driving sales, especially if they're specific sales that they're having. Like, they're going to be using your content, and they're obviously hiring you to create content because they like your content in the first place. Mm-hmm. And if their goal is just to boost it anyway, then you need to make sure you're getting compensated for that. So that's like very big for the holidays. And then lastly, just continue following up. I feel like brands, their emails are just going to be blowing up this time of year. So don't be afraid to follow up, to stay at the top of the inbox if you're not hearing back. Again, I preach this all the time. Download Streak if you want to just know if someone's opening your email, if they're not opening your email. I love Streak. It's like my best friend. It's so great. So I will always just say download Streak. And it's free. I use the free version. Like, I don't use it for anything else except to see if the email's being opened or not, because you can just tell if you're hitting the right inbox or not and how to follow up. So that's one of my big tips for sure.
Yeah.
Love that. But then, yeah, just some other quick tips really fast. I feel like we said this earlier, just tracking your content calendar, making sure not to overbook yourself with the exclusivity clauses and like writing out the days. Like, if you have exclusivity, maybe put an X on that day just to remind yourself, oh, I have exclusivity. I need to make sure I don't book this type of campaign on this date, or I need to tell the brand I'm available to post on this certain day, to just make sure everything aligns and you don't have overlapping dates, because then that's a sticky situation to be in, and that's not fun to bring up to a brand, unfortunately. And then, yeah, just not comparing yourself to others. I feel like this is probably one of the hardest parts for the holidays is you see all these campaigns going live and you're like, well, why did the brand not pay me?
People love to say how busy they are during the holidays. Yeah. I feel like I was literally just watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives again. Well, not again. I just never finished it. Like, and I had to start over. But they were talking about how none of them made anything in the holiday season, and then it like picked back up, and I just feel like that reminded me how like some people are just so overly like, oh my god, I'm so busy this time of year, like add whatever, like I'm making so much money. But like, just be aware, it is so different every single year. I swear, some years are slow and some years are randomly really, really good. It just like depends so much on your niche, like where you are on your following, brands, what they're prioritizing, macro or micro. Like, there's just so many factors that go into it, and it's so different every single year, and it does not say anything about you and your content, even though it's so easy to compare. But just blinders on, truly, especially for the holiday season. Just like, you don't need to be comparing yourself, even though it's easy to, and we understand that.
I think just focus on the quality of the content that you're putting out, whether it's an ad or not, because then it's like when the right opportunity is going to come, you'll be ready. The brands will see your content. Like, it's so funny. I got a campaign for literally the campaign color palette was black and white, and the brief was like, show us how you strut your outfit on a sidewalk. And I was like, that is literally me to a T, wearing black and white, walking on the sidewalk. So I was just like, the right.
So funny.
The right campaigns will find you. So it's just like, focus on your content, focus on putting high quality content. And I would say focus on creating content that I think that brands can see their product being integrated in.
Yeah.
So I feel like during the holidays, a lot of at-home content does well, like styling an outfit at home, putting outfits together at home, makeup, like the whole like prep stage of going to whatever event you're going to. I feel like those always do really well, and I think brands really like it, and it's easier for you because then you don't have to leave your house. So maybe kind of create that kind of content leading up to it so that you can show brands like what your backdrop looks like, what like decor is going to look like if you have any, that way you can kind of help paint the picture. But yeah, not comparing yourself is very hard, and we all do it, and you're not alone, but try to keep the blinders on as much as possible and just be you, do you, and just know the right campaigns will come along for you. So, and then lastly is just don't overbook yourself. I feel like you still want to be able to enjoy the holidays. You want to be present, spend time with your friends and family, you know, disconnect from social media for a little bit. Like, you don't want to have to feel like every single moment you have to be filming something. And like, I feel like personally, when I'm around family, I try not to be on my phone as much as possible. And especially because they don't really want to be in my content. So I'm not trying to make them feel uncomfortable by, you know, putting someone in my content if they don't want to be. So just being mindful and aware. And I think the Toast was talking about this a lot last week, but like touching some grass, like it's so great. Go outside.
What do they call it? Touch grass. TGM, touch grass moment.
And I think that's just so important to remember during the holidays, that not everything has to be captured, not everything has to be posted. Like, you can keep moments to yourself. It is okay. You don't have to share every single little detail if you don't want to, and you can just do recaps or highlight certain parts that you want to. But I think it's just more important to find that balance and be present with your loved ones, because I feel like those are the special moments and those are the memories that you're gonna have. So I feel like that's just really important to remind ourselves over the holidays, because we can kind of get caught up and be like, oh my gosh, I have to film this. I have to film my outfit. I have to film my hair. I have to film my makeup every single time. I have to post it. I have to engage. I have to stop playing a game with my family because I have to post. Like, no, your post can wait a day. It'll be okay. Like, you know, just remember that. I think that's important.
That's our reminder as well.
Yes, truly. So that's pretty much kind of a wrap on our holiday content tips and just things that we're going to start implementing now going into the holidays and just things we're keeping in mind. So lastly, to wrap up the episode really quick, instead of doing a listener of the week, you guys are all amazing, but yes, we wanted for the holiday season to start doing shout outs to small businesses that we love. So that way, if you guys are shopping, I feel like we always encourage everyone to shop small if you can, to support a small local business. It seriously means so much to them when you make a purchase. And like, you're like, sometimes I feel like small business items can be a little more expensive, but you're getting so much, just like the experience for the small business owner that they are packaging your order and sending to you means so much to them. Mm-hmm. So we are going to start sharing, I think probably through the rest of the year, small businesses that we love and would gift people items from, or that we purchase ourselves and that we use and we just want to mm-hmm. share with you guys. So the first one that we're going to do is Erin Fader Jewelry. She's one of my personal favorite jewelry designer. She's one of my friends. Love her so much. She is currently posting about a rebrand coming, so stay tuned for that.
So exciting.
And she recently launched her Paris earrings, which are a croissant looking earring, and it's so freaking cute. I'm obsessed. And she's just a boss babe in general. We did an episode with her. It's episode 112. If you guys want to hear her story, I feel like it's so inspiring to hear how someone kind of starts their business, where they get their inspiration from, how they keep going during hard times, and like what makes them so special and unique. So if you guys want to hear more about Erin Fader, that is episode 112. But love her so much, love her products. You guys know I post and talk about her all the time. The quality of her jewelry is so good, and I feel like as I've gotten older, I've invested in more high quality pieces and less like buying cheap pieces that tarnish or break and throw away. So I feel like she's a really good brand for investing in. So yeah, she is our small business of the week.
But love that.
Okay, anything else you want to add? I think that's pretty much it for this week.
Yeah, I think that's it. I can't believe we're doing a holiday episode. Like,
I know.
I'm so excited for the holidays, and I hope this was helpful.
Yes. We love you guys so much. We're probably going to do a Q&A episode too. So if you guys have any questions about holiday, anything holiday related, basically, definitely ask so we can talk about that on an episode for you guys. We just want to know what you guys want to hear about. But yeah, hope you guys have an amazing week this week, and we will chat with you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.